Hi, it's Rabbi Jim Egolf. I really want to thank you for listening this week. I've been on vacation and I'm finally back, and I would love to hear from you. You can email me at rav, as in Victor, J-I-M, at AOL.com. Or, if you have Skype or a telephone line in the United States of America, you can call me on my Skype line at 610-624-3441. This past week was the story of Korach and his rebellion. And we're going to take Korach out, and then we're going to go to Jerusalem for, gosh, just a story filled with more irony than you could possibly ever imagine. And then we're going to come back and reflect on what it means in all of our societies when we tend to treat everyone as if they were Korach and his followers. We end up creating more problems than we might actually like. Again, I thank you for joining me. And I also want to thank you because this past week was really special. This past week, we passed the first year anniversary of this podcast, and we also went over 5,000 listens. So I really want to thank you for tuning in and listening. Thank you so much. It is absolutely rewarding to know that you're out there. Again, shalom, and please enjoy. Hi, shalom, it's Rabbi Jim Egolf. Some of the waves from my vacation, because I just would like to share it with you. I find it incredibly relaxing to sit and to be amidst the waves on a sandbar off the Jersey shore. But we need to talk a little bit of Torah this week, and then we need to go to Jerusalem, and then we need to talk about what happened there. And the Torah portion this past week is the story of the rebellion of Korach. According to the story, Korach and his followers, which numbered 250, start a rebellion against Moses and Aaron. Korach asserts that the entire assembly is holy, or at least all the Levites are holy. And Moses and Aaron have, to put it in a Southernism, grown too big for their britches. A revolt ensues, and Korach and his followers are defeated and punished in the worst of ways. The Torah names a place called Sheol, where souls go when people die, according to Judaism, and specifically in the Torah. However, Korach and his followers are sent to Sheol alive, which seems to have made it a horrible punishment and have turned this normally neutral place into a type of hell. Since this particular time, there seems to be an infatuation within certain religious traditions to have the ability to condemn someone to a Sheol or hell. When I was growing up in the rural South, I had several people who loved to have this discussion with me. And it bothered me until I realized that going to what they considered to be heaven might not be all it's cracked up to be if these were the kinds of people I would have as company for an eternity. Mind you, there were some really, and are some really nice folks, wonderful Christians, who might not be so bad to spend an eternity with, but then there were the others who made a divine paradise, let's just say, less attractive. Speaking of trying to get to a sense of religious paradise, some people went in search of such a place this past week, and, well, they were a bit surprised when they got there. Sometimes you have to admit that God either has a tremendous sense of humor, or that the world is built on more irony than anyone would like to admit, or that certain Anglican church leaders just don't know how to look at the calendar. This past week, leaders of the Anglican Church, specifically conservative leaders, gathered in Jerusalem to have a meeting about the liberal forces that have confronted the church as of late. Of the topics for discussion was the recent ordination of both Anglican priests in the United States, a quote-unquote gay marriage in Britain and the ordination of Anglican bishops in our country. Someone forgot to check the calendar, and these leaders met while Jerusalem was engulfed in the annual gay and lesbian parade. These conservative religious leaders were surrounded by a rainbow of colors as they attempted to find a way to condemn people who would look out the window and possibly see something positive in this parade in the middle of Jerusalem. Needless to say, they didn't necessarily see it that way. Now, this would have had a certain amusing quality in and of itself, except that one of the conservative Anglican leaders was interviewed by the BBC. And this is where it went from ironic to, well, it got a little weird. The leader, Melvin Tinker, stated that it was telling that the event had so many participants who needed to state their political gender views in such an open manner. Now, this parade, Tinker was recorded by the BBC as saying, quote, "I find it a wee bit strange in that it, a gay and lesbian parade, has to take place demonstrates that it is out of sync with society. When we think of it, wouldn't it be odd if we had a sort of marriage pride march with people showing up and celebrating marriage?" Now, when I heard this, I began to wonder. According to Melvin Tinker, the need to have a public exposure was a sign that something was wrong. That there was a disconnect from what he considered to be normal society. Not that Christians have ever wanted or needed to have a public display of certain elements of their faith, especially on the lawns of courthouses or other buildings in our country. So if we follow Melvin's logic, it sounds like there is something wrong with more than just a parade in Jerusalem, since everybody seems to want to have a certain degree of notoriety when it comes to stating their particular political or religious beliefs. I heard this and I began to wonder, it makes sense what Tinker says until we take a step back and we actually realize that traditionally there were some expressions that bordered on, what he called a marriage pride. Now, according to the website www.mothersdaycelebration.com, the advent, to borrow a word, of Mother's Day in England happened in the 17th century. Okay, yes, I know one can be a mother without being married, but in the 17th century, it was just a little more complicated. Anyway, it was first called Mothering Sunday. Not to be outdone, according to www.fathersdaycelebration.com, quote, "Historians have recorded that there was a tradition to celebrate Father's Day even thousands of years ago. Their study says that 4,000 years ago in Babylon, a son called Elmisu carved a Father's Day message on a clay card. In his message, Elmisu wished his father a long and healthy life. There is no knowledge as to what happened to this father and son duo, but it is believed that several countries retained the custom of celebrating Father's Day." The site continues to point out that our modern celebration goes back, Father's Day goes back to the last century. Moreover, most couples celebrate their anniversaries and expect close friends and relatives to recognize these important dates in some way. So while it may not be with a parade in the middle of a town, either we're all out of sync with society, or Melvin Tinker might try to pick his words a bit more carefully. Besides, it seems more than a wee bit arrogant. This is just me as, an American speaking, but it seems more than a wee bit arrogant to travel to a foreign country. That's right, Melvin, the British mandate in Palestine is over. and condemn another society based on a different understanding of religion and its role, and to condemn another society which doesn't even share the Christian religion, by and large. Then again, that might take the humility of a Moses, who did not condemn Korach to Sheol, but allowed God to make those kinds of decisions. The punishment of Korach is one that said that one community had to be more holy and more righteous than the other. The quest for holiness is much different than having the audacity to say who is and is not capable of achieving the status of holiness. In a country that has held the publishing world riveted by the Harry Potter series, and when it was revealed that one of the chief heroes of the story is gay, the world is aghast and doesn't know what to do with this revelation. Speaking of Dumbledore, perhaps one of the things it calls all people to do is to consider the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, who said, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." These comments by this vicar remind us that the content of our characters is still something people think they can judge as if they themselves were God. But as we said before, this is not holiness. It is just arrogance. This conservative group of Anglicans seems to think that offering a condemnation of homosexuality will either make them more faithful or solve some or all of their problems. Societies do not do well when they treat every challenge and change as if it came from a Korach. For when we do, we all end up in a special place, often created by our actions and our ideas and our intolerances, called Sheol, or hell. May we all pray that we are able to live in societies that do not condemn change and do not condemn people as being less than, just so that a majority, or in some cases even a minority, can feel that they have that special status that is considered to be quote-unquote normal and thus quote-unquote sacred. I wish you the best of weeks. Shavua Tov.